So son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving.
Natural burning, burning car.
Come on, it's your car,
and
you do what you want with it.
I own this car, I do as I please. I also own the highway, my taxes pay for that. They're both mine. I own the highway and I own the car. I own everything!
Big trouble. That's the rookie Suarez up and over Regan Smith, the big one out there to the trial.
Welcome to the Throwing Wrenches Podcast.
Welcome to the Throwing Wrenches Podcast. I'm Daryl Scott.
And I'm Eric Stahl.
And this is episode number 8. We are too tired and worn down and beat down by the cold weather and the blizzard we had and everything to come up with a witty kind of a title for this episode. So we're just going with...
Gave it all 30 seconds. I mean, tried.
We tried. We threw in the towel early. So episode 8, thanks so much for listening. If you're just joining us, this is a podcast about cars and automobilia and trucks and... anything that has an engine and some mode of transport.
As we like to say, it's the auto podcast that Peoria deserves, Daryl.
That is. And we actually, we have a couple other like catchphrases we've been bantering about, right?
Yeah,
like,
so that's been our catchphrase to this point. And I don't know, I think the mighty Throwing Wrenches art players have kind of come up with some new ideas. So let me try a couple of these slogans on.
All right,
and if you want to try one out, you know, go for it.
Run one past me.
So here's one. Unlike car talk, we're talking about cars that are mostly newer.
I mean, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, this weekend I heard him talking about 85 Accords, and I'm like, you know, it never gets old. People are still driving those cars.
That's true. Now, some would say we're better than Car Talk.
Yeah, well, and so, yeah, better than Car Talk because our shows are new. So I hate to rip on Car Talk. Is it too easy?
It is. It's a very easy target, especially because, you know, one of them died. But
they could still...
It's the best of. It's like Lawrence Welk.
Daryl, if you died,
yeah.
could I carry the show on without you?
I think you could do it better, actually. You'd find a better co-host who's more prepared and healthier.
Don't sell yourself short, pal.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to try this next one?
Yeah. Some of the other ones we've been bantering about here is the only car podcast duo in the Peoria area.
That's
a bold statement,
my strong.
Friend.
It's strong, isn't it?
But that might be true. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody else who's got a couple of mics.
Let them come fight. Let's rumble.
Let's bring it. Let's do the Anchorman thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and here we go. The only show talking about cutting-edge electric technology and ancient Volvo brake lines.
Like that? That one's for you, Daryl.
I do. I appreciate the... That was a perfect pitch there.
It's a shout-out to those Volvo listeners. We got a lot of Volvo listeners, I think.
We do. We actually hold that demographic pretty well. We've run the numbers. But no, we appreciate you guys listening. Whatever you drive, whatever you're into, this, of course, being the Midwest, this is wintertime, so a lot of your precious rides, your fun cars, your race cars, your trucks... you know, unless you're one of those just diehards that just drives something cool year round,
I think like Daryl.
Yeah, right. what was it last month or so? There was like it wasn't a Veyron or something. It was some crazy exotic car driving around in the snow.
It was like a Lamborghini, I think. It was like a blaze orange.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you guys want to park your $5,000 box of junk,
hey, you know what? That credit where credit's due. I mean, that car's being driven. It's not a garage princess.
I guess.
Unlike your rigs, Daryl.
Right. Yeah. They're so my $5,000 beaters. No, it's the thing that kills me though is even this modern supercars, which, you know, carbon fiber and aluminum and all that. Like aluminum still oxidizes and gets that white crusty junk on it. And
yeah.
I just think of all the horrible crevices and places that stuff can start to.
That's because everything you work on, Daryl, is over 50 years old.
That's true. Anyways.
So those were the catchphrase ideas. And if you have one, please send it to us because we certainly could use some more ideas on that.
That's right. You can connect with us on the Throwing Wrenches Podcast Facebook page or send us an email. We are at throwingwrenches@gmail.com?
No.
What the hell are we?
We're info@throwingwrenches.com.
Thank you, Eric.
Yes. All right. Tonight we're doing the show at Studio B once again. We're at Daryl's house, and I got to tell you, I honestly thought, Daryl, I might see you like laying on the floor doing the show, or maybe when I walk up to the door, maybe a little trolley on the ceiling would be
right,
carrying you to me,
like in Traction.
Yeah,
Now I've still suffering from a lovely lower back disc herniation, but getting better. Pain's getting better, and we're gonna try to punt on the surgery for now. So
yeah, you're looking pretty. You're looking better than you sounded for sure.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, and you know what's funny is laying in bed and just doing some stretches here and there. I've lost 10 pounds. So I don't know. Maybe I need to just not
look very svelte.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I think the key is not going to the fridge. I think that's the key.
Not being able to get up and feed yourself.
Right. Not taking nourishment.
Am I able to point out that all this starts because of the Tahoe?
It does. It does. And here's the thing. I blame our roads here in Illinois.
You knew it was a mistake when you bought it. You're like, I'm going to do it. It probably shouldn't.
It's going to be fun. It still is fun, but it looks fun from my bedroom window as I... So I look at it sadly in the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually hurt myself. I was doing a bunch of things I shouldn't be doing, lifting. I had a blown out disc when I was 24, and I had surgery. And, of course, when you're 24 and they're like, you shouldn't lift anything more than 50 pounds. You're
Doc, whatever.
What do you know, neurosurgeon? So then you have this false sense of, I feel better so I can do normal stuff, like, you know, help friends move. And,
and 70-pound tires, just heap them around or husk.
Yeah, so that's what did. I was taking a set of winter tires and rims to get powder coated and take the old tires off, all that stuff. And I had them stacked three high in the back of the truck, and I was getting them out. And when I dropped the last off, I was like, something doesn't feel right. And of course, the ride home from Pekin, it was getting worse and worse and worse. So yeah, we'll get better. We're on the mend, and if nothing else, I think I can probably take a used Dunlop or something and stick it in my back and make a disc out of it.
There you go. Well, who's the powder coating place?
Like New Parts, LNP. They are off of Derby and Black Brown Street, street.
And how'd you find out about those guys? There's a couple of powder coating places around here, so.
Yeah, well, the big one that I heard lots of good things about was out in Carlock, and they actually burned down.
Yeah, they just sent me a postcard yesterday, because we use them at the dealership.
Do you? Okay.
They're back up.
I know they did a bunch of kind of industrial jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I feel... But I tell you what, between, like, the fires that have happened locally and, like, the tornadoes... Country Classic Cars, that's something we can probably kick the show off with. Country Classic Cars, a lot of folks that are into the old car hobby are just driven past them on 55 and exit 41 in Staunton, Illinois, right south of Springfield. You've noticed they've got thousands of old cars out there. They got a lot of those little like pole barn buildings. Well, they had a big fire. A lot of people, they saw the pictures on the internet. It was a year or two ago?
I think it was probably 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it was a big fire. I mean, this place is probably 3 acres just of cars lined up against the interstate. And it's, if you're a car guy at all, you drive up 55 and you turn your head to the right as you're going north and you're like, oh my God, I want to stop. And I always, I never do. And and then when it burned down, I was like, well, that was a mistake. I should have gone through there, at least checked out one time or another.
Sure.
And then they rebuilt. So that was cool.
They got all new buildings, kind of like Morton style, like metal buildings, and, redid it all. And then, of course, the perimeter, they have a lot of these kind of, what do you call them, like carports, like steel carports.
It doesn't look like the best protection against the elements for a classic car, but maybe he has better stuff inside. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, the good stuff is inside. The stuff outside is, I definitely want to say, like projects or, sub $10,000 kind of stuff, which to me is still, like, there's some nice cars there,
too. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, there's some ratty projects. But anyways, we had some really bad storms here, some you might be aware of.
It was November 30th.
Yeah. It was the weekend, right?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
It was the 1st. Yeah, it was December.
Oh, yeah, Saturday was December 1st. Sorry.
Yeah. Which, I guess it goes to show you that you can still get really crummy, severe weather in December anywhere. But, they had some tornadoes touch down in Taylorville, did a whole bunch of damage there, and then Staunton just right outside there. And guess what? The whole place got torn up again.
Again.
And the owner, to his credit, the owner is in the Vintage Chevrolet Club with me and my dad, and we kind of tangentially know who they are. He and his wife are like, yep, we're going to rebuild again. Like, your insurance is probably going to have something to say about that. But
so that makes me wonder, because I think a lot of the cars he has there are probably on consignment.
I think it's a mixture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're smart, Daryl, you take that Volvo down there.
Put it on consignment.
And load it up with insurance.
Wait for storm season.
Because something's going to happen. I mean, invariably, these things come in threes, right? Is that how it works?
Pretty much.
Deaths? I don't know. But, car dealership fires and disasters come in threes.
When I hear the weather radio go off, I'll call them and get down there as soon as I can.
Hey, you got a spot down there I can park my car?
Fax me the paperwork. It's fax. I don't know why I said fax.
Just, well,
who uses a fax machine? You have a fax machine at work?
Yes, because banks still fax. It's a legal document.
Whatever.
It's so stupid.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the only the big stuff that comes to mind right away. I know, Eric, you've got some other things we're working on, including trying to cultivate some sponsors of this show.
Yeah. So what was the name of that powder coat shop again?
Like New Parts.
Like New Parts. If you'd like us to talk about your business on our podcast, you make sure you get in touch with Daryl or myself.
There you go. There you go. I'll be picking them up, and I will probably be having you load them into my vehicle, so I don't re-injure my back.
Yeah, just call me when you're down Derby Street. I'll swing down and help you out. Okay.
Hey, what a pal. Yeah.
Then your fair wife can help you get them out, right?
Yeah, she's gonna mount those and get the impact out. Yeah, now we'll make it happen somehow.
All right,
got some feedback, right?
Yeah, just a little bit, and it was secondary feedback. One of my friends said, "Hey, Jake, listened to your podcast last week. Arkansas is not east of Mississippi." And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's right. Look at that. So I went ahead and talked about Southern Cruiser Crawl in the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a good old time in Arkansas down in Hot Springs, and sure enough, I was west of the Mississippi, so that was my fail. But, hey, you know what that says? That there's still nothing any better east of the Mississippi. I mean, this is, we'll call it a couple hundred miles west of the Mississippi and still better than anything to the east.
There you go. There you go. Geography lesson courtesy of Eric Stahl.
Yeah, yeah.
We had some other feedback. A friend Ben, a good buddy of mine, listens to the show faithfully and had some feedback or a correction, some fact. And because of my diminished mental state, I could not remember what it was.
That was a physical state. I thought you were sharpened. I mean,
it's all gone, dude.
Usually guys who are like physically diminished, like Stephen Hawking's, the brain like super tunes.
Right. That's always like the solace, right? You're supposed to like silver lining. Oh, at least you got your mind. Your mind's still sharp.
Yeah, yeah.
They say that about like old people too. You know, it's like, oh, well, they're in such bad health, but her mind's still sharp. It's like that's even worse.
Yeah, I'd rather be losing it as my body's losing it.
Because right. Inside...
Did I just pee myself? I don't care.
Yeah, inside there's still a like 16-year-old that's just like, man, this is not going well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways, Ben, I heard your feedback. I can't remember what it was. Shoot us a text or next time we get together, and I'll make sure to get it on there. Appreciate you listening. And if you know someone who needs to hear this show because, well, frankly, it just... It makes the world a better place.
It's popping, man. This show is popping with auto knowledge.
It's going to pop one day.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of pops, what do you got popping in the garage? You got a couple of irons in the fire, don't you?
Yeah. So my son, I had a deal worked out with a buddy of mine. He's been waiting to get some tires installed on his truck. And when he got his tires installed, then I get to buy his old tires and rims.
Gotcha.
So he finally got his rims. We got his tires. Put those on, and I bought his. So now I have this 4Runner sitting... And it needs to get the lift on it. And these tires are too damn big without the lift. So now I get into this sense of urgency because my son's getting his permit in another month.
What year 4Runner? 90?
2001.
Okay.
Yeah. It's two-wheel drive, automatic, but it is what it is for a 16-year-old. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get some paint over rust, and I'm going to the rear carrier, the diff housing.
It's got a lot of scale
rust.
And stuff.
Yeah, so I'm going to use some of that paint over rust. I don't know if you ever worked with that stuff before.
Yeah, the POR. I've used POR 15 and Bill Hirsch Enamel's Miracle Paint.
Ooh, I've not tried that.
It's the same stuff. Yeah, both of them work pretty well. I think Born Paint has something called Rust Mort, which does the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, we got. So, yeah, the POR, we got it at Born.
Cool.
And a buddy of mine got half gallon or a liter.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what it was, a quart. It goes a long way, which is really funny for that because you think it's got to be very stout. You think it'll go on like paste,
mm-hmm.
but it really goes on almost like oil. You just smear it all over and it gets like a hard coat when it's done. So
are you using like a sponge brush?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They say that's a good prep. I guess you can thin it and spray it, but
I can't imagine.
Well,
the mess.
It's not only the mess, but like any other epoxy or urethane, I guess it's got isocyanates in it or cyanates or something.
So you have to breathe that?
Apparently, it's like you need to spray that outdoors with a respirator kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're just using it out of the can with sponge brushes, yeah, it's good stuff. It'll clean to anything. The only thing I also, a lot of those guys don't have is like a UV protector. So they want you, if you're going to put it, anything that gets sunlight, they want you to top coat it.
Yeah, put like and that's the same thing with like
Rust-Oleum or?
No, the spray rubber coat, Plastidip.
Oh, yeah.
Plastidip has like a coating so it kind of keeps its finish because what, 6 months of Plastip, next thing you know, you're getting all leathered up.
Yeah, you get the chalky kind of gross thing. Yeah, so, exactly. Well, that'll be a nice nice rig for your son, and, you know, maybe you could, you know, coax him into borrowing it when you need to haul something.
He's already
like
asked if we could wheel it, and I'm like, I made a big mistake because this was not meant to be wheeled, but we'll see. You could take it to Colorado. No.
No.
You could take it to Colorado and run with rear-wheel drive, I think. It'd probably be okay most places.
I think you'd be fine. There's, and especially with enough ground clearance and things like that, so you got a good set of tires. I was talking to my good friend Clint back home a week or so ago. We got the snow, and he's like, you know what? He's like, four-wheel drive sucks. He goes, I would much rather have good snow tires on a two-wheel drive with Posi all day.
There's actually a video going around right now that shows the difference between a car with all-wheel drive with street tires versus a two-wheel drive car with snow tires.
Yeah.
And maybe I can find that, and I could link it on the Facebook page.
Sure,
but it was pretty convincing to me. First off,
is it a control thing?
That and traction. Yeah, you get plenty of traction with snow tires. I don't think we get enough here to justify the existence of snow tires on your car. So, although I also don't think we have enough here to worry about the need all-wheel drive on your car.
Yeah. I could go either way. I mean, it just depends on where you live and what kind of needs you have. I always love the folks, too, that, you know, the folks that have the serious four-wheel drive rigs are the ones that it's for fun. It's not because, like, I'm a trauma surgeon and need to get to the hospital no matter what in all kinds of weather.
Yeah.
You know, these are rigs that are just kind of either trail or fun weekend kind of things. So you see a lot of, you know, Wranglers and, you know, nice lifted things like that. But during the snowstorms, you don't see them. What you see out there are old diesel two-wheel drive farm trucks, and they're all kinds of weather.
Yeah. That could be a whole different show. We could talk about, garage queens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And definitely there's some show trucks drive around town that you're like, never been wheeled. You know, we actually have an expression for a friend of mine. And if he's listening right now, we've been calling him NWA. He's never wheeling again. He just he keeps building this truck up. But every time we keep going to an event, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm busy. And I'm like, you have the most capable truck of all of us, and you're not doing anything with it, but driving around Chicago. It's making us sick.
It's kind of painful.
It is. Also, I got fun stuff. Maybe tomorrow I'm going to take my Tundra in. There's a recall on Toyota trucks and Tacomas and Tundras and Sequoias. If you have a hole in the frame because of rust, they're replacing them. So my 07 Tundra, there was a hole found in it. So I'm getting a whole new frame on my truck.
The entire frame, front to rear.
Entire frame.
Wow.
Pretty cool. So
yeah, I'll say.
Yeah. So, I mean, the cab comes off, the engine comes out, the bed comes off. It's and I got an ARB bumper and a lift, and I got airbags on the back because it's a farm truck. So I'm sure the technicians will be hating me, but I'm thinking about adding some new shocks. I'm going to put maybe some upper control arms on it.
And, sure. Yeah. Just get it all kind of ready for when that day comes.
For the next 20 years. I mean, really, this is an awesome upgrade, really, for me, so I'm looking forward to it.
So folks out there listening and they're interested in finding out more, there's obviously stuff online. They can look it up.
Well, right? Yeah, if you...
They should have gotten the little recall thing in the mail.
Yeah, I'm not here... Well, we've talked about this before. If you get a recall mailer and you ignore it, then shame on you
agreed.
You call 5 years from now and go, hey, I got rust on my frame. You guys were covering it. What are you going to do now? Well, nothing, Bubba, you know.
All the repro frames are gone.
It, 2008 to 2010, I think, pretty much Toyota trucks. I'm not here to be a Toyota commercial, but that's kind of the vein we're in right now, those vehicles. So,
it's
got problems.
A weak spot.
Yeah. Dude, I see Ford Rangers all the time driving around with the leaf springs busted off of them. I see Chevy trucks sitting in Pekin. They're like in a V shape because the frame is just cracked in half.
Yeah.
But Toyota is the only manufacturer I know of that's replacing these things and not charging the customer. So
no, that's good. And that's, like you said, that's not an easy job. How long would it take at a shop to do?
The book time is 40 hours.
So a week.
It's a week. It's a week job. Yeah.
Well, I'm just thinking, think about not only the wiring and all that, because on a truck, I mean, you even still on modern trucks, there's a lot of wiring and stuff, but you're still getting a little bit of a reprieve because a lot of that stuff is modular. You can zip a bed off pretty quick.
Yes.
But you've got fuel lines, vapor return lines. You've got brake lines going to all wheels. The
manufacturer gives you all new of that stuff. It's pretty cool. New brake lines will be part of that.
So basically, your bottom third of the truck is new.
Yeah.
They have to swap over, like, control arms and springs
so,
and stuff like that?
So, lower control arms will get replaced because they generally are seized in place.
Okay.
The uppers, like I said, I'm going to change because I have a lift on the truck, and I've never really liked my steering alignment anyway, so I'm going to put some better upper control arms on there.
Motor, trans, I mean, all...
it's great.
Everything. That's a big job.
Yeah, it's great. It's... I'm telling you again, I'm not trying to be commercial, but it is an awesome, awesome experience to know that my truck is going to come out of there and have a brand new frame. I'm going to be able to look underneath and go, that's brand new.
Right.
New leaf springs, new, you know, pretty darn cool.
And just power wash everything. It's like a brand new truck.
Exactly.
Well, kudos for Toyota for standing by that. Because like you said, I mean, anybody who's been on the road in the last 10 years has seen some pretty heinous stuff when it comes to trucks and modern stuff that rusts.
I got a buddy up in New Hampshire. He has a dealership, and he's doing these hand over fist. He's got like 80 frames sitting out back of his dealership. Yeah. Just, it's terrible. The Northeast, Massachusetts, New Hampshire. I've heard Ohio is possibly one of the worst states.
I can see that. I imagine Illinois is probably not that far behind.
Yeah.
You know, and
I've
heard
we're always broke. We can never afford the salt. You know?
Right. Yeah. Salt budget ran out. I did hear that from a lot of folks over the years that it's not so much the salt anymore. It's that brine that they use, that calcium chloride, chloride, whatever.
Oh, yeah. That stuff.
You see it, the green tanks, if anybody looks at like the IDOT or any of the city plow trucks or something like that, they got the little brine tanks. And is that a pre-treat? Is that what they put on?
I don't know. I don't know enough about that. I'm sure there's somebody who will correct us on this. We could say that it's something completely wrong and somebody will let us know. That's, I think, how we should get a lot of our facts anymore, is just to say completely wrong
just
statements and see what comes back in the mail.
Random inaccurate stuff.
I've thrown salt down on my pavement, though, and it's literally broke the concrete. Have you ever had that?
Where it spalls, you get the little divots in it?
Yeah. Just blows it right out of there. So.
Yeah. We had a neighbor in our other house, nice guy, but he would salt the hell out of the driveway because he was afraid him and his wife and kids would slip and fall, which I get. It was a pretty substantial hill. But I'm like, man, you got to watch that stuff. The concrete, your real nice cement driveway. Well, within the 10 years we were there, it turned into like Noriega's face. It was, they were like craters. And it was
a rough reference. I'm going to give you credit. I mean, there's bonus points for that, but it's definitely not going to be one known by everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody listening to this show probably knows it.
If anybody grew up during the era of.
Manuel Noriega.
Well, I guess I'm feeling this nostalgic. There's been an awful lot of coverage here in the news about George H.W. Bush. And it just kind of, I saw the footage of the Union Pacific train, the funeral train that's going to go through part of Texas.
Okay.
It's all painted up. Just a remarkable kind of a tribute. You know, it's just one of those little things that, like, companies, people, and in general, they don't do that stuff anymore.
That's because the only people have money for that type of stuff are the federal government.
That's true. That's true. They're probably paying for it.
I'm sure you're paying for it. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm sure the bill is unpaid.
Maybe. I'll just write it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
What do you got, Daryl? What do you got working on?
Yeah,
you always have like a million things.
Well, I've been pretty slow here, but I've been cruising the old internet.
You haven't been doing much.
No, I got, of course, since I jacked everything up with those, getting those tires and rims prepped, I got some rally rims for the Tahoe that I'm going to blast. They're going to have them powder coated for me in gloss black so they'll match the truck. And no trim rings, but I'm going to have center caps and new lug nuts. And my goal is to kind of make it look like the police edition, like the police package Tahoe.
Yeah, the rings, I think, kind of date it. So I think you'll be happier without those.
Yeah, I'm going to go with kind of a clean look for winter because I still like to be stylish, you know.
Yeah,
still
while you're in traction.
While I'm in traction, while someone else is driving my
car.
While
looking for traction, he's in traction, looking sharp. Yeah.
My next car is going to be an ambulance, by the way. I'm just going to skip to the end. But the cool thing is on Amazon, a couple other places, I did find a set of GM truck rally, the five-lug rally, the old half-ton deals. GM reproduces those center caps, and you can get a set of four and the hardware to hold them onto the rim for like $45-$50 shipped.
Nice.
So that's fantastic. Meanwhile, you know, I need to order like a little shift bushing for my Volvo's, what do you call it, console, whatever.
The garden hose isn't holding up or what?
No, it's not. That part, my rubber fake hose things are holding up. It's in the dash now, the shifter on the column. That's completely disintegrated. So I'm like, oh, I'll just order that. I can get that. Well, one place in Sweden is like $70 for this little nylon bushing. I'm like, how can I get a set of chrome plated, like, you know, authentic GM?
You're gonna fight over $70 for some bushings?
I am. I am, because I'm only gonna drive that thing like twice and then it'll break down again. Anyways, and then I also splurged, Eric. I bought some of that de-icer windshield washer fluid. So
what grade did you go? What color is it?
It's green.
Okay.
It's green.
Is that better than orange?
I had orange and purple. Well, orange is usually the Rain-X.
Okay.
which it's got a nice little polymer that doesn't always work, but sometimes does.
Okay.
And then the purple, is that the summer one? I forget. What's the bug, the bug wash?
I don't know.
None of it works.
I don't use any of that stuff. You know what we use at the dealership?
Blue?
Good old methanol. Yeah. Just blue with methanol.
I also did, this is like a home remedy. I was poor, like last month. And no, the regular windshield washer fluid is good to like 20 below.
Yeah.
It's really not. It's good to like 20 degrees. And then it starts to turn into a slushy. If you just take a bottle of regular isopropyl and throw it in there, it lowers the freezing point.
Okay.
And it'll still clear off the windshield just fine. So if you're not wanting to pay the $6 for your de-icing windshield washer fluid, just throw some 88-cent.
Or if you own a Toyota, just come by my store. I'll fill it up for free.
You heard it here, folks. Free stuff. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. The aggravation that's caused by customers coming in with frozen washer bottles, and then just when we try and thaw them out, we put the good stuff in there, we load up with alcohol, trying to compensate for what they've done. And then they come back a day later, it's frozen up again. I'm like, this isn't because of me.
What did you put in there? Did you put chicken soup in it or something?
Exactly.
Well, I see, especially in the older cars, they're hard to find a lot of the, muscle car stuff. Of course, you can reproduce. If you have a Chevelle or Camaro and you need a washer bottle because yours is yellow or split, that's fine. You can get a new one. But for an 83 Monte Carlo SS, nobody's reproducing those.
Really?
And if you go to the junkyard, they're all split because people put water in them and then they forget, winter.
Or they had front end damage or something.
Yeah, they get split that way. And just another kind of word of caution. As long as you're talking about liquids that freeze, make sure you're going through winter, especially if you have an older kind of, winter beater. Make sure you got the little antifreeze specific gravity tester and make sure your mix is, trust me, everybody that's had kind of a beater, I'll just throw some water in the summer, get it going, and, it's got a small leak in the radiator, big deal. Well, it's not a big deal until it's the middle of February and you crack your block. And it's a stupid thing.
Daryl, that's why they created freeze plugs, to compensate for this. Your engine will not be destroyed. It'll just blow out the freeze plugs, then you'll run on antifreeze, and you'll overheat the car. You won't freeze the car.
Yeah, it could go either way. So bottom line is, it's winter. You're probably, your car repairs aren't done. It's too late, and I wish you well. That's why winter beaters are fun, right?
The Grim Reaper, Daryl Scott.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so we've got the Grim Reaper, and then you have somebody you want to talk about who's kind of the do-gooder.
The do-gooder. Oh, so is it time for the Customer of the Week?
It is time for Eric's Customer of the Week. I love these tales.
We need a theme song for the Customer of the Week. It's funny, because I'd written this a couple weeks ago, and then that customer actually came in the other day, and she apologized for what happened, but it's not a big deal. So I called this one the do-gooder. Guy's dying. This happens a lot. And when guys have always taken care of the cars for the wives or their family, they'll bring the car into the dealership or they'll send the car in, and they'll want to do everything. Got to get tires, got to get brakes, got to make sure this car's ready to go because I might be going next week.
Oh, yeah.
I want my wife to have everything. So, Well, the dad had the health scare, and the dad said, call us and get some tires for the car. So I had the tires, had them ready to go. Well, then he got really bad, and so the whole family comes up north from Texas and wherever. And he's alive right now. He's back home, but he's still in bad shape. He's got cancer. But in the meantime, the kids said, "Oh, Mom, you need tires." So they went over to the tire store and got some tires put on it and did some brakes at Midas or whatever. And
sure,
hey, whatever. I understand. They think they're doing the right thing. But the problem is, once they leave town, they go back to Texas or wherever, now Mom's got tires from somewhere else that she doesn't do service. She's got brakes from somewhere else.
Right.
And she already came into my store the other day because she couldn't figure out how to set the clock on her car. So, it's cool. I'm not begrudging. But so you're doing the right thing. You're trying to help your parents. But you got to realize, when you walk out of town or when you take off, now you've got her with three new places.
Right. Right.
So, you did help her. But at the same time, now you left me having to hold the bag, take care of all this. Because ultimately, when she has a problem with the brakes or the tires, she's come back to me, and now I got to deal with all these other places. So it happens. It happens a lot, believe it or not.
Yeah, but there should be. Yeah, I agree with you. There's got to be a little bit of a procedure there, because she could come back in, and her her lifetime guaranteed Midas brakes are crap.
Yeah,
they don't fit right. They squeak. And then it's like, well, you need new brakes. And like, well, no, my son just bought me new brakes.
Yeah.
Well, happens. Your son's, Your son paid for it with a coupon. And
exactly. And he got the tires at Goodyear. God bless Goodyear. But, you know, and I'm going to have to charge you for the rotation now. So you could either go to Goodyear, get your free rotation, and come back here for the oil change. Or invariably what you'll do is just have us do the whole thing and pay for it, whatever. But anyway, I call it the do-gooder. Like I said, it's a bad situation. It's not pleasant. I'm not happy for any of it.
Yeah.
But that's just, it happens. So if I share just a little bit of this knowledge and it helps you 20 years from now when you're an invalid.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually.
And you're trying to prep your cars for your wife.
I told my wife too. I'm like, you know, something happens where I get, you know, paralyzed or can't drive, you know, heaven forbid, you know, I'm like, just sell all my stuff. Like, and maybe we should just sell it now. You know, she's just like.
Sell it too.
She's like, no. No.
It's not over yet, Daryl. Come on.
I know. That's what she
told
me.
You're still in the game, I think.
I am. But, you know, she also says, like, no, I actually like driving those things. She does, but.
She's going to have to find a new guy, though, who has some capabilities. I mean, there's going to be a resume process, I believe, when you kick the bucket.
Are you familiar with pneumatic tools? Do you know how to operate a
how
press?
Are you with 60s European automobiles?
I'm going to quiz you about negative ground electrical systems. She's gonna that would be like the ultimate online dating, right? Like, you know, you must be this type of a man. And no, it's like I've got a whole series of spreadsheets you need to look through.
Exactly.
With the schematics.
Oh man, right. Yeah. So I think you're safe for a while. She's not gonna take it down because until she finds a worthy replacement.
Well, and the other thing too is our stuff isn't worth that much. So even if you did sell all of the quote old cars, you know, combined, I think I'd have enough to buy a really nice steak dinner. You know, a real nice like Ruth's
like a
Chris.
Ruth's Chris, yeah. Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'll have that and the potatoes au gratin,
and maybe another couple with you or something. Yeah, okay, right. You know, for four people,
maybe. Anyways, yeah. Any other customer stories, or is that?
Nah, we'll hold the next one for the next show. We got plenty of content. It seems like this one.
We do. It's good to get kind of back in the saddle. I do want to take a moment here. Eric and I are also, besides being car aficionados, we also like. A good craft beer.
Oh, all right.
We also like film. We're big film nerds.
Yeah,
in
definitely.
Fact, we've done a few podcasts with some associates of ours.
And we can do a cross promotion there.
We certainly can. If anybody is a fan of any kind of film, mostly goofy, fun, enjoyable kind of comedy stuff. But
John Hughes movies for us, I think.
John Hughes movies are kind of our jam. You definitely want to search out the podcast that is Drunk at the Movies. It is kind of an offshoot of the Drunken Lullabies podcast hosted by The Voice.
The Voice.
The Voice. And he's got a new co-host for Drunk at the Movies.
I haven't listened, but yeah, I knew he announced made the official announcement.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real deal. So check out Drunk at the Movies. You can search that up. We'll probably put a link or something up there. And,
yeah, we'll do that.
Do a little shout-out to him. Dustin?
So Daryl and I have done a couple shows there, and yeah. And they've been the John Hughes movies. So for this time of year, should you want to watch a Christmassy movie,
mm-hmm.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, is that a Thanksgiving movie? Or is it...
Yeah, it's all holiday-themed. Okay. It'll work.
Yeah, you could watch that, and you could hear the pleasant tones of Daryl Scott and myself listening to Steve Martin, one of my favorite actors.
Good guy.
And yours.
Yeah, love him. no, he's all right. He's funny.
Yeah, and I think at one point he drops an F-bomb on a Toyota.
You need to check it out. So Drunken Lullabies, Drunk at the Movies.
All right.
The program there.
So that long segue...
Yeah, we're going to talk about film, Eric. Because here's the thing. If you start geeking out about films, then people are like, I listen to this thing to a podcast about cars.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're talking about movies. We like it all, folks. We like it all.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're real people. You know, we're multidimensional, multifaceted.
Yeah, I got like three dimensions.
Our wives may not agree, but anyway. So you have not seen this movie, but I went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's the movie about Queen.
That's the one that should have had Sacha Baron Cohen in it, but
I don't think it would have been good with Sacha Cohen. I think it would have been distracted the whole time, unless he was really into it.
Okay.
But I heard he was kind of going to have a little levity to it, and I don't think it needed it.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
Good yeah. Flick, though?
Yes, yes. You know what's funny? I think everybody should have like a highlight reel made into a movie. You know, maybe there should be like a Guns N' Roses movie made someday. But I think you got to wait till Axl's dead, because I don't think... You could do this Freddie Mercury movie with Freddie still alive.
It'd be weird.
It would.
Yeah.
So the Elton movie, I think, will be weird because Elton's still alive. Now, if Elton were dead, then it would be a whole different thing. You'd be like, oh, yeah, this is like devil tribute. I get to hear the Elton music and he's not around anymore.
We hope he lives a long, fruitful life because he's slated to play Peoria, I think, in January.
Yeah,
so.
Are you going?
I have not purchased tickets, but he played like 3 hours last time. He loves Peoria, so.
Yeah, well, everybody loves Peoria. Anyway, getting back to the content of the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So... Bohemian Rhapsody broke $500 million on the worldwide market, which is pretty strong. Big deal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not a movie show. But if you've watched the movie at all, there is some biting banter back and forth between bandmates because Roger Taylor. Yeah, I don't know if that's his correct last name. We'll assume it is for right now. That was part of my pseudo-research there. But anyway, Roger Taylor, the drummer, wrote a song called I'm in Love with My Car. It's on the Night at the Opera album. And as a kid, I remember this song, and I didn't realize kind of how juvenile the lyrics were to it, but in the movie, Freddie and Brian May and all those guys are like ripping back on Roger, saying, you know, oh, you know, who could write a song about loving their automobile? He's like, oh, it's a good song. So I copied the lyrics in here, Daryl.
Okay. All right.
And I'm not going to sing it.
We're not doing the carpool karaoke here?
No. But I might throw a little bit of that demeanor he's got in there. So.
Okay.
The machine of a dream. Such a clean machine. You might want to put a little echo on this. I don't know.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
I'm going to change this.
You may have to edit this down. This could be the suckiest part of our podcast ever.
It might be. Go ahead.
All right, there we go. The machine of a dream, such a clean machine, with the pistons a-pumping and the hubcaps all a-gleam. When I'm holding the wheel, all I hear is your gear. With my hand on your grease gun, it's like a disease, son.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff, right? I'm in love with my car, got a feel for my automobile. Get a grip on that boy racer roll bar and turn it off. That's enough.
That's,
anyway.
That's the wrong, hold on. Try that.
Do you want me to just start over?
No. I'm going to get the right reverb.
Get me in the right room, Daryl.
There you go.
We'll go right back to the top. The machine of a dream, such a clean machine. With the pistons a-pumping and the hubcaps all a-gleam. When I'm holding your wheel, here is your gear. With my hand on your grease gun.
my hand on your grease gun?
That line, I think, actually came up in the movie a couple times about how stupid it was. So
what is it?
So it's a car-related song. I think it's on everybody to pull up their Spotify or Apple Music.
I've never even heard of this. And it is Roger Taylor, by the way.
Okay,
Roger Meadows Taylor.
All right.
That's his real name.
It's hilarious. It's a terrible song.
Get a grip on my boy racer roll bar is the another. Here we go. Such a thrill when your radials squeal. Told my girl I'll have to forget her. Rather buy me a new carburetor. So she made tracks saying this is the end now. That's the end of that guy's songwriting career. Holy, you know, that's one of those things. It's like Ringo. It's like, you know, why don't you just play the drums?
He had Octopus's Garden. He had Get By With a Little Help From My Friends.
Yeah, that one's okay. Did he do Yellow Submarine too? Did he write that?
I don't think so.
No.
I'm not a huge Beatles fan. I know enough to be dangerous, I think.
Yeah, that's okay. So that, any Queen fans, if you're familiar with that song, give us a shout. If not, if you're like me and that was the first terrifying, horrible time.
You heard me reciting. I'm sure it sounds better with somebody else singing it, but it wasn't Freddie Mercury, I don't even think, sang. I think Roger Taylor did sing that song as well on the album. I think, Daryl, if you really want to get production value going on the show, I think maybe you should maybe throw a snippet of that song.
Just a little bit? Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
When I'm holding your wheel. There's another verse here.
Okay.
When I'm holding your wheel, all I hear is your gear. When I'm cruising in overdrive, don't have to listen to no run-of-the-mill talk jive. I'm in love with my car, got a feel for my automobile. I'm in love with my car, love with my car. String back gloves in my automo-love.
Automo-love.
That's not a word.
Well,
all right.
It can be.
Well, Eric, thank you for opening our eyes to that gem. That is one of those one-hit wonders, right?
What? No, Queen's not a one-hit wonder. I don't know if that was really a hit.
Nah, a hit. A Night at the Opera. What else? Did that have Bohemian Rhapsody and stuff on it?
God, Daryl, you're so young. You're such a millennial. I swear to God, as a kid growing up, I had the double-fold LP of this. Of course, I think my parents had it, but...
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was much else. Well, Best Friend might be on there.
Bicycle? Was it?
I think Bicycle was on Day at the Races.
Okay. Yeah. I'll throw this out here. I respect Freddie Mercury, Brian May, a little bit, as far as just being talented. Not a Queen fan. My wife loves Queen, so yeah, we're going to go see the film. But I will say it does give me chills like watching like the Live Aid 85, where he's singing like Radio Gaga and stuff.
It's dead on, man.
Phenomenal.
It's okay. Yeah, so I leaned over to my daughter during that movie. I know we're getting off the car subject here, but I leaned over to my daughter, who's 17, who's with me. I'm like, you have no idea what a god this guy was to us when we were kid. And as a kid, as a Midwesterner, you know, we didn't know what homosexuality was or anything like that, mm-hmm, really. We just knew there was something funny about Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, he's a little different.
Yeah, right. We didn't care. I mean, yeah, that guy, when he got on stage, a show was coming. Right. The same thing with Elton John when we were kids, too, you know.
Yep, very much. Very much the same. And still can pull it off.
Yeah.
I will say, too, the other thing, the kind of relationship to Cars and Queen, I want to just give a quick salute, a little shout-out to the AMC Pacer, because the only real time I started getting into like Queen a little bit, and I'm like, yeah, it's not really for me, but I respect their stuff. I like Freddie Mercury style. Was of course watching the movie Wayne's World when it came out in '92 or whatever the hell that was, and they're driving around Garth's Pacer, yes, with the flame job on it,
yes,
with the Twizzler dispenser, listening to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Don't remember that part, but so there's a shout out to Mike Myers in this movie, and I didn't catch it at first, but when they record A Night at the Opera and they put it all together, the head of the record company, I don't remember which company that was at the time, MCA or whatever, it's actually played by Myers. And at one point, Myers goes, kids aren't going to be headbanging in their cars to this song. And I waited for Myers to like turn with his Dr. Evil look and go, you know, but he didn't. They kept it a little more sublime than that. But, you know, I'm like, oh, that's funny.
It's a nice little
homage.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll behave. All right, so national news. We're going to cross back over the pond here. We're going to talk about all the depressing things. So, you know, Great Britain, of course, had the big labor collapse and implosion and, you know, all this stuff with the British automakers in the 70s, right around the time Queen was popular, British Leyland, all that stuff. We'll come back over here and, you know, GM's Mary Barra, isn't that her name?
Well, yeah, that's her CEO. When they were really struggling, I'm not going to get into it. I was going to say, I felt like they went...
You just censor yourself.
I felt like they went kinder and softer on their CEO, just so that way when they went in front of Congress that they couldn't come off so hard.
Yeah, I mean, everybody probably followed the news a week or so ago when General Motors announced that they, kind of on the heels of Ford, where we're going to stop building small cars, nobody's buying them, we're going to just build SUVs and electric stuff. Oh, and by the way, GM, we're going to close seven factories?
I had the 14,000 jobs. I don't know if it was seven factories or not. Oh, no, it is closed seven factories.
It was a
worldwide.
Fair amount.
Worldwide. So, Canada, I think, was catching some of the brunt on this, too. So that might have been the worldwide aspect.
Yeah, there were a couple in Canada, and I have some Canadian car friends that are super pissed because of same kind of thing. The relationship, there's union issues, you've got, you know, labor, you've got management, you've got economy stuff, and then you also have kind of this whole General Motors is going to do what they're going to do regardless of how it impacts a city, a community, the labor industry, anything like that. But yeah, they're basically saying and laying it all out there. They're going to cut all these staff, and they're going to basically bust it down to like a Chevy Malibu, a couple SUVs and trucks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the galling part to me was in the press release, a sweeping realignment prepared for the future of electric and self-driving cars. Do self-driving cars require a different factory? I'm not aware of that.
No, but I read that as, you know, a lot of modular components that are going to be made that don't require as much people. I don't know. It's hard to kind of guess. And some of this too. Do you think some of this is just saber rattling, like Ford? I mean, Ford was like, you know, we're going to stop making this, this, and this. And, you know, they're still basically, I can go buy a Fiesta or a Focus or a Taurus.
You know, in this era of Trump and politics, the way things are played now, it's possible that you yell loud enough and you say you're going to close as many factories. Next thing you know, There's some tariffs slapped up to fight some cars coming in.
Like, yeah, what's the end game? Is that kind of where
I don't know.
Is it just a strategy to cut the tariffs? Or
I hadn't thought about that aspect until you said something about it. But yeah. The one thing that I was taken back by this. Okay, so you have all these union people. We're talking Midwest and kind of the roots,
Lordstown, Ohio. They're talking about
flyover territory here. Right. And so to say it's electric and self-driving cars' fault. You know, it's just putting the scapegoat on technology. So now it's like, all those people driving those electric cars took your jobs, honey. You know,
right.
There's no future in Akron now because of self-driving cars.
So you got to make a boogeyman?
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be the bad guy?
Yeah. I mean, it just seems to me like counterintuitive completely. That is the future in a lot of ways. So why would you cast that onto society as this is a reason that people don't have jobs because of this technology?
Yeah, I can sympathize with that to a point. I also think, though, coming from a background from the Midwest and people who like older stuff and work on their own machines, and you know, I've been to factories in Lordstown. I've been to the Wentzville, Missouri plant where they make the Chevy vans and things like that, and not that far away from Janesville where GM had a factory Janesville, Wisconsin for eons. I think they built that thing in the 20s, and up until recently they were still churning out full-size trucks. And that was always kind of a point of pride for me, is I knew no matter what vehicle I had, I knew exactly what factory it came from, and I had a rough idea of kind of the makeup of the people who built those things. Now, I'd also be cursing them because, you know, there'd be, bolts.
Damn you, Janesville.
Right.
Got me again.
What's that rattle on the door? Oh, it's like an extra regulator assembly that's half broken sitting in there that's been in there since day one. Nice job. Good quality control. But at the same time, my wife's dad, my wife's grandfather, they worked at General Motors in St. Louis at the Fisher Body plant, and they had a real nice career, and they put food on the table and fed their family with a good paying job in that, you know, in that era where things were just, you know, in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, things change. And I remember taking a tour through that Wentzville plant with my father-in-law, and he said, "Man, when I was working in St. Louis in the early 70s, nothing was air conditioned. There was no mats. You know, these guys here, they've got air conditioning. They're taking breaks. They're standing on those like anti-fatigue mats.
Yes, yeah.
And they've got all these assistant things that are like putting the doors on the hinges.
It's almost like having the bionic arms just kind of helping them hold stuff. Yeah.
True. And it was so quiet. You can go in there. You can actually hear them talking.
Yeah.
And when we did the tour, it was like, it was fun. Everybody was in a good mood. He's like, "Man, when I was in there grinding lead off the body seams, like that was not good. That was not a fun job."
Well, the previous generation was digging coal tunnels, stuff like that.
It's very true.
Yeah. So, I mean, we all come from crappy jobs. And someday, you know, my kids will look back and go, "Oh, my God, you used to get oil in your fingers, you know?" Yeah. We just suck it out with a straw now in all the cars, you know?
Right. Oil, what's oil? These are sealed for life.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. Yeah, like the self-driving thing, they're at revolution. There's some people, like myself, who, frankly, not interested.
I didn't drop this in the show notes, Daryl.
No.
But Thanksgiving, I drove a 2018 Sienna to Iowa.
Yeah?
And holy smokes, man. Lane departure, auto braking, laser cruise.
What is laser cruise? Is it from the future?
You set your speed, and then as you come up another car, you set your distance of how far you want to be back from the car in front of you.
Oh, okay. So
it
adaptive.
It maintains.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sweet. And so I was just, I would take my hands off the wheel. Of course, it was pissing my wife off all the time because I'd just take my hands off the wheel, see how far I could go. And invariably, it comes up because it knows. It must sense resistance or something.
Does it beep at you?
Yeah,
or
it beeps.
Yeah.
It says, "Put your hands on the wheel."
No.
She's like, What are you doing? I'm like, "Nothing." And my son's in the back. He's like, he's taking his hands off the wheel because he's watching too because he's interested. It must be a guy thing. I don't know.
It's just cheat death.
I wasn't closing my eyes or anything.
No. It would have.
It's like sitting a toddler in your lap and driving around the pasture. You know, you kind of let him do its thing, and then, you know, as it gets out of control, that's how I remember it.
I mean, I can see that for, like, you know, your daily driver. Something on a long trip, it's fine. But there's something to me, and this is, I don't know, this is just me, and I'm not like, married to this, because in 20 years I'll probably be running around some electric buzzing thing. I still think, pound for pound, the amount of efficiency that is stored up in a lithium battery that you charge and recharge and recharge and then eventually replace, I don't think you get that much out of it as opposed to an internal combustion engine. I'm just thinking of places we go for the holidays, we'd have to stop. We'd have to stop and charge up, you know, and that's a huge step backwards for me. you know.
I would agree in some ways that the amount of manufacturing and basically the scarring of the earth that's taking place in China to make the batteries,
yeah,
that we basically make in a pretty package and send over here, and then we recycle them supposedly, you know, when everything's done.
Mm-hmm.
I still think, you know, pound for pound, an aluminum block with high fuel efficiency probably has a longer lifespan.
Yeah.
But, you know, nobody wants to see the smoke coming out of the tailpipe. They'd rather see it coming out of a factory 200 miles away.
Or not see it.
Exactly.
Because those factories are in places like close to where you and I live.
Topeka.
No, it's true. And they contaminate groundwater and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But as long as the people in the big cities don't have to go when they sit in traffic, life's good, right?
Yeah, it's good to be rich.
So I think at the end of the day, and one of my friends summed it up, he's like, GM doesn't want to be an automaker anymore. They want to be a tech manufacturer, and I'm just not interested in what they have to offer. Now, I've also heard the phrase, too, that, you know, they used to be an automaker, then they became a healthcare and a benefits provider.
Oh, for their...
Because all the obligations and everything, and they...
Well, that's what your local and state government are becoming, too.
It's true.
Retirement companies.
It's true. So you get in the business where you... Anytime you're having to fund those obligations, that puts the pause on innovation, research, design, any kind of new ideas, or, frankly, doing the right thing. So, yeah, they're going to cut the Buick LaCrosse. They're going to cut the CT6 and the Cruze and the Impala. But, you know... And even the Volt.
I was surprised by the Volt. I didn't expect that.
I don't know if the incentives are there anymore.
I think they have that Bolt. Is that the other one
that's
now?
That's a smaller, yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to have some other electric option. It's just maybe the Volt, they decide. I don't know what the Volt sales. I'd be interested to see how those turned out. I imagine they were really strong for a year. They probably... I don't see anybody buying new Volts these days.
I don't either. It's just a shame because they were a stylish car. But again, it's a four-door sedan. It's fairly small.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they took that and made it an SUV, maybe that would have changed things.
Maybe.
So who knows? And we'll kind of see what happens with Ford, too, because I know Ford was doing the same thing. Not everybody is going to go out and buy a truck or SUV. There's still, and then maybe it's just the area we live in, I still see tons of Cruises, tons of Impalas, Malibus. I see them.
On the used car lot, that's the car to sell. I mean, those are always going to be popular cars. So what really is going to happen is in 5 or 10 years from now, when there's a complete absence of those cars on the market, what's going to happen?
Right.
You know, are people who can't afford gas, you know, in their cars going to be able to afford these SUVs that are all over the place?
Good point.
I don't know.
Good point.
They certainly aren't going to want to pay for a new hybrid battery in an electric car, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we can skip past. There was an article on Jalopnik about how interest has dropped off for GM sedans. It was interesting on that chart when they went by the interest, by new car interest, when people are looking up, you know, when they go to the websites, when they go to Google and they look for new cars, Tesla was like high on every... It's like everybody starts looking for a Tesla, and then once they figure it out, oh, the size sucks, oh, the battery sucks.
And it's $70,000.
Yeah, I think that used Impala sounds pretty good. So, you know...
I agree.
So you can Google that article on your own. But getting to your point about the SUVs and stuff, what about our homespun electric car manufacturer, Rivian, in Bloomington Normal, at the former Mitsubishi plant in Normal, Illinois? They're big showing out the LA Auto Show.
Yeah, big splashy debut of their truck, their electric, fully electric truck, the R1T, and followed, I think, a day or two later by their SUV variant, the R1S. We put a link up on our Facebook page to their debut video. Really nicely shot video.
This is very nice.
Especially being a, you know, kind of an outdoorsman and a 4x4 guy. Eric, what did you think of the truck?
So first off, when I looked at it, I'm like, eh, I don't like the rear end. Looks like a Lincoln. Or like the headlights in the front. Those LEDs aren't going to be realistic. Yeah. But the interior, the engine compartment where you traditionally would have your engine in your car, they threw the cooler in the front of the truck.
Yeah.
They had that innovative door, the surfboard door in the back, which people are like, that's stupid. I'm like, nah, that's not that really bad of an idea. You don't have to flip open a door. You could throw your grocery bags in the side.
Mm-hmm.
And 400-mile range. 70,000-mile sticker price minus a $7,500 tax credit. So you'd be paying $63,000. A top-of-the-line Tacoma or a top-of-the-line Chevy, I'm trying to remember what they're...
Silverado, Z71, whatever, yeah.
Those are $45,000 trucks.
Yeah, and I've seen mid-low 50s for, you know, really decked out ones.
This is not out of the realm.
No. But that's also kind of a frightening realization, though, isn't it? Because you see the price tag, like, oh, man, that's a ton of money. And then you're like, no, in this day and age, it's not.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to kind of reevaluate what we think is super uber expensive. Because, yeah, for $63K, this thing promises, you know, all-wheel drive. What was it? Zero to 60 in
3 seconds or something. Like. Yeah. But it has four motors on it. Unlike Tesla, which would have like two, I think, normally front and rear on all-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
This has four unique motors, for one for each drive wheel.
Which is pretty cool.
That's awesome for wheeling.
Yep. You got the kind of the flexibility of having an all-wheel drive vehicle like that, and with hopefully... we haven't seen specs, haven't seen one on an articulation rack or anything, but yeah. I would assume without the huge drivetrain and all that, you can probably do, you know, whatever you want.
They had a water line of like 3 feet on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can, I mean, I don't know, I'm excited. I guess the next thing comes, okay, so you've shown this truck, you're at the auto show, you're probably going to take New York, going to take it to Detroit, and everybody's going, ooh, ah, you have no dealer network, you have no franchise network, are you going to sell at the mall?
Yeah.
Tesla tried to do this, and they've gotten sued everywhere they go. So
yeah.
Has Tesla broke enough ice across the country for them to try and sell this to people right out of a storefront? Or what's going to happen here? Because at some point, you got to start making and selling these things.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is you've got a dealer network that doesn't exist. And going all the way back to the old independent automakers in the 20s and 30s, you could build the Stearns Knight. You had like the sleeveless engine or the sleeve engine that was infinite rebuildable and just bulletproof and all that. They didn't have a dealer network,
yeah.
And the instability of that really kind of hampered their sales. Now you combine that with any kind of economic instability, then people are going to be like, I don't know, that's too big of a chance. Whereas if you have a little bit of a safety net there, and you have a product that is kind of whiz bang and is a little more approachable and frankly more practical than the Tesla. I'm not knocking Teslas. The stuff out that they make out there today is it's really revolutionary stuff. But these are the first vehicles where I've seen it, and I'm like, yeah, I could see myself in one of those.
Yeah.
Right? I could throw some friends in there, and we could go have some fun on a weekend or do haul stuff. That's the other thing. Electric vehicles are great right now in America if you're just a couple of people and you're going to the store.
Yeah.
If you need to have it do work, or you need to have it haul a kayak and take your family to a camping trip on a weekend, you're SOL.
They're promising it'll get 10,000 pounds of towing capacity. But an electric motor, when you double the load on it,
yeah,
you reduce the battery by 50%. I mean, that's right. Generally how these things work. So if you're pulling 10,000 pounds of this truck, you got to diminish its span. I mean, it's got to get like 50 or 75 miles, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think, what was it? It's just under 400, something like that. That's like the magic number for the range, 400 yeah. miles per charge.
In beautiful California 70-degree temperatures probably yeah. is where you get that.
Yeah, in winter, it might go down with the full family and all their Christmas goodies.
Air conditioning, it's going to drop.
So we'll see. I did like the looks of the SUV. The truck kind of smacked of a little bit of Honda Ridgeline, where it's kind of that size. I think it's bigger.
It looks like a small truck to me.
Yeah.
It looks like a Ranger S10 type thing.
Yeah. So we'll see. It'd be interesting to see one in person here locally. Not quite sure how.
That'd be awesome if we were at the Peoria Auto Show. I plan on going to Chicago Auto Show. Maybe it'll make it there. I would hope it's in Illinois, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah. But that's the other thing, too, though, is that makes the big debut out in L.A., which is great for the press. But here, it's like we're 30 minutes from here, and I haven't seen or heard peep. So
yeah.
We'll see. Including any kind of job openings. Not that I'm looking. But I was a while ago. And
yeah, when they said, yeah, we're not interested.
Yeah, we're not hiring. And then, of course, it's like, well, they're hiring, but I think they're cherry-picking people.
Former NPR jock, Daryl Scott.
I could have been a contender, Eric. Could have helped market that thing.
Maybe they could have like a RJ Scringe radio network inside them.
Maybe. Maybe they want to sponsor this show. And we get like,
oops, I better back off.
Crazy money. Hey, we haven't done anything bad. And we're gonna forego the moment of Musk.
I have no musky moments for this week.
Okay. Well, Rivian's close, and he kind of wants to be like Musk.
Yeah, right? There was an article in another, I think it was Technology Today or something like that, said, RJ Scringe, the next Elon Musk. I don't think so.
Probably not.
He certainly didn't have PayPal, so I'm not, Musk got some good shit going on for the most. I'm sorry, I swore first time on the show. Just went to the adult rating.
Okay.
But as much as a fruitcake as he is, he's launching rockets, he's building tunnels. The guy's got stuff going. Scringe has yet to put a car on the road, so
that's
he's got a ways to go.
Well, if the YouTube video is any indication, we're going to all believe everything we see on
Plus
the internet.
He did have a rooftop tent on the truck. I kind of like that.
That was what sold you? Like,
at the end, it was like, okay. Seal the deal. Bam. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm in.
So what if you're up in Lake Tahoe?
And that's definitely where you'd be with us.
Yeah, and you'd be running around for a couple of days, and then you realize you didn't bring your charger. And your...
Well, you pull into the local Whole Foods. I'm sure there's a charging station there.
Generated with wind propeller or something. Yeah.
You know, Daryl. You knew the answer to that question as soon as you asked it.
I guess. The Hy-Vee here in town has a wind-generated...
It does. I've used it.
...charger thing.
On my plug-in Prius.
Sweet. It's pretty right. sweet. Okay.
So in lieu of the musky moment this week...
Yeah.
I'm going to use that term interchangeably. As
musky
moment. For comedic effect.
Hold on, I just gotta musky moments. There you go. I love the effects on this. I'm sorry.
It's good. I'm glad you use them. I paid extra.
Yeah.
There was a possible story. Quick thinking California Highway Patrol officers stop a Tesla with autopilot with an alleged DUI driver asleep behind the wheel in Redwood City. So I guess they saw this guy like slobbering on the windshield in the car, just passed out, and they got in front of him and slowed the car down. And
so he's out having a good time on the town and then decides to autopilot home instead of Uber?
I guess. I mean, I don't know how the autopilot works. I assume he got onto the interstate. And at that point, the car took over on the interstate. Maybe.
Unreal. Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, so point, counterpoint. Well, point is he didn't kill anybody. Counterpoint is he was still drunk. So
he still went to jail.
Yeah.
Cops still. Yeah. Okay.
Rightfully so, I think. But I think the autopilot feature, you know. First, I had a kid tonight at work who wrecked a car. He said he looked down at his speedometer and he ran into the guy in front of him. If that car would have had autopilot or the laser braking, wouldn't have happened.
True.
And I don't know what he was really doing. Was he looking at his cell phone? I'll never know. But
you have to dash cam it up, man.
Oh, that's coming next. You know,
everybody gets a dash cam now. Thanks.
They're cheap. Yeah, and you can get fired. So
that'll be, you know, future show, because I'm actually going to ask for one of those for Christmas, because I do want one.
Yeah.
Just for my own personal amusement.
Personal
amusement. I think they're fun, and I also, there's been enough close calls around town where I'm just like, you know what, if it was my word against this chucklehead, and there was no witness, because that's what happens when you do get in a wreck. Everyone else is in a hurry, especially, you know, rush hour.
Yeah.
There's nobody going to corroborate your story. They're gone.
Oh, yeah. So. I'm not sticking around for this guy. Do I know that guy? No, I got to get to work.
Yeah. So, yeah, dash cam might come in handy. So we'll talk about that.
There was a Garmin cam on a guy's car I picked up the other day that basically did all those functions like I talked about that Sienna earlier, mm-hmm. where it saw that I was getting out of my lane, so a little warning light would come on.
Nice.
But it was also recording the whole time, which made me uncomfortable, pick up somebody's car and then drive it. I'm like, here we go. You know, so you look at it later. Hey, you were traveling a little close behind that truck.
Right.
I got a rock trip in my windshield. I know you did it.
I noticed your tech didn't put down the paper mat the proper
exactly.
way.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to, we're probably going to have a service meeting at some point to talk about cameras and cars. And you need to be aware.
Just assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you stand there picking your nose, or if, you know, you're looking at something inappropriate. I mean, I don't need to hear this stuff anyway.
Yeah. Good talk. Good times.
All right. So that was our non-question of the week. That was our noodling of the week, I think we're going to call that.
I dig it. We're going to talk a little bit about a photo contest. We need one. We haven't done a photo contest.
This is your idea, Daryl. I'm listening.
Is it my idea? It's in blue. Did you change the color? I don't think I wrote this.
You did.
Well, if I did, I don't know. Okay, so photo contests are fun. Send us a holiday-themed photo of whatever vehicle or project you're working on. If you got something in the garage under wraps, or you got some daily driver that you're always adding something onto, or you're going to get it some cool WeatherTech floor mats or something for the holiday season, let us know what you're working on. Send us a photo of it. Put it up on our Facebook page. We're at Throwin' Wrenches Podcast, or you can go to throwinwrenches.com and hit us up with the Contact Us link.
Yeah, I think I'll work on some autographed pictures of Daryl Scott. We can send those out if you submit.
Gross. Yeah, nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. But
maybe on that traction bar, that little pulley system in his house. It'd be great.
There's a Rodney Dangerfield movie called Easy Money. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's in traction.
Billy Joel's song was great. I love that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in traction in hospital, and he says some pretty grotesque stuff to the nurse there, but I just, the whole time I'm thinking.
I think it's on Netflix. It was on Netflix or Amazon. I think it's on Amazon Prime right now.
It should be. It's a great film.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Okay, so let's get to cars of the week. Eric, you're always, it seems like, finding some cool 80s or 90s kind of Toyota or Japanese-centric kind of sports car love here in not only in Illinois, but across the world. But here in Illinois, we do come across some pretty nice, rare stuff. What do you got for us this week?
Okay, so if you were following the Facebook page here in the last couple of weeks, I was at the last Cars and Coffee, for the season, and there was a red Celica GTS with fins and gills all over it, turbo, all-wheel drive.
Nice.
Classic car, 1990.
It's got the big scoop in the...
Yep.
Okay.
It's got one scoop in the middle and then two sets of gills on either side of the scoop.
Is it intercooled? Is that... That might be for intercooler.
I think it's just for looks. But,
okay, right.
But it looks sweet. Anyway, so I've been watching. Somebody's been bringing these old Supras and MR2s, and this car shows up. I'm like, this got to be the same guy. And I kind of hung around the car for a while, hoping he'd show up. Never did. So invariably, Gabe Casey, who should be sponsoring our show, Gabe Casey Law Office, East Peoria, Illinois.
Ah.
Anyway, cheap plug, Gabe. I don't know if he listens. He sends me a link on Facebook one day. Hey, look what's for sale. This car's for sale in Lincoln.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I, you know, okay, so if you've been listening to the show at all, I think one of these came up with right-hand drive here a while back, and it went for $6,900. I'm like, oh, it's my dream car.
That black
one? This car is left-hand drive. It's everything I ever wanted, and it's $10,000. It's sitting in Lincoln, Illinois. And you know, and I'm just pointing my life where I got kids going to college.
Yeah, wrong timing.
My wife wants some renovations. Got a tractor needs to be replaced. I'm like, why? You know, 10 years from now, I look back and go, you should have bought that car. But
yeah.
But looking at the finances right now, I can't afford that car, so it sucks. So
somebody, I feel for you, man. 10 grand, is that's at that point where you're like, yeah, I can't. Like, there's no way.
Even if it were 7, I'd still have a hard sell on the family.
What if it was 5? What was half this?
don't even. It doesn't matter. It doesn't think.
You know, it's not happening.
No, it's not. But if somebody's looking for a sweet Celica GTS, it's got a little wear in the driver's seat, but he says the car's not leaking a drop. I find that hard to believe. It's got to be leaking somewhere. They all do. But, man, I got the coilovers on my other 90 Celica that could be swapped over right now.
So you got a parts car, is what you're saying.
I do.
Well, I'm sorry that you're not able to pull that one off, but, yeah, like you said, hopefully it goes to a good home because those are becoming fairly rare, and you do see a fair amount of Supras of that vintage, you know, or the later ones with the big wing that everybody wants.
Those are going for 100 G's, though, in decent shape.
So. Those are insanely expensive. These are attainable, still fun. You got the all-wheel drive. You got a little turbo you can play with. And, frankly, the lines of those things are aging. I think they're aging quite well.
I think they are. I'm going to go in the bathroom and blow my brains out now, okay?
Well, it's okay. Don't worry. 10 grand. I will go you one better.
Okay.
I'm going to go completely off the other end of the spectrum here, and I'm going to pick a car on Craigslist. It is on the Peoria Craigslist, even though the vehicle's in Macomb. It is a white with a red interior, leather interior, 78 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. And it's been sitting in a barn, it looks like, you know, for, I think it said 8 years. Nice, clean, original 66,000-mile car. And, of course, it's one of those, ran great when I parked it kind of stories.
Yeah.
But it does look like a nice, probably like somebody's grandma's car that got willed to them and they just parked it. But if anyone knows those vehicles, those are kind of like the last of the, you know, the big, nice, full-sized rear-wheel drive cars. Should have a 425 or 420, 472. It's got a huge motor still in it. I think by the time the 80s rolled around with OPEC 2 and everything, they kind of downsized. They started doing weird stuff like they put a V6 in the Cadillacs. And they also did a diesel, old diesel motor, which my grandparents had one of those. It was fun, but a nightmare. so this thing's kind of like you get the cool downsized but still full-size body with old-school 70s muscle. And it's white vinyl top, red leather seats, just a gorgeous car. So for $2,300, you could be your own Goodfella or be your own Henry Hill and run around.
Does it got the Lambo top?
It does. It's got the half, that kind of half vinyl with the little carriage lamp, you know.
Did you see on Malaise, I think somebody had one rip off on a car as they were driving down the road?
Yeah. Yeah. Vinyl tops are scary because when you get underneath them, you know, oh, I'm just going to replace it. It's a little cracked. You take it to a canvas shop or a body shop and every time, every single, car could be from Arizona. They take that vinyl top off. There's always rust underneath it. So
the link doesn't work, Daryl. Let's go look at this thing.
Oh, really?
No big deal. No big deal.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Somebody typed an F in here.
Oh.
There we go. Hold on. O-R-G.
So, I wondered about that Forg. I thought, well, Forg doesn't sound like a website I've been to before.
It's not a valid address. Yeah, it's a big thing. And I like the 70s cars, like the big full-size ones, like the Toronados and Eldorado, stuff like that, because the doors are about 600 pounds a piece. And even I remember as an adult, you know, I had a 78 Buick LeSabre coupe, and those doors were hard to close.
Oh,
for a
kid,
look
at this thing, man.
Yeah, it's like, you remember when you were a kid and you slam your hand in the door or something? That would cut your hand off. That's how bad a car that is.
Yeah, I slammed my daughter's hand in the car of a Corolla when she was like two or three.
She forgive you for that?
She just, her mouth was like, and she couldn't move. She was like paralyzed. I opened up the door real quick and grabbed her fingers. Everything felt fine. Like, good to be a kid.
Yeah.
Never took her to the doctor or anything. She was fine.
Yeah, she's good. Rub some dirt in it.
She can't throw a ball, but no, just kidding. She's fine.
I remember.
That thing is dusty and dirty.
But it might clean up.
Yeah, and do you notice the big block sitting next to it?
No.
So
I missed that.
Okay.
Maybe it doesn't run.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously this guy, he knows his way around an automobile based on the spare tires and engines laying around. So
I did. Craigslist is great for that. I did notice also in the foreground.
And aluminum windows.
There's some windows. I think there's an RV in the background or a pop-up trailer.
It's nice. And the dirt floor, that lends itself. And the white walls, man. Oh, man.
Shooting down my dream, Eric.
No, I'm not. I think Daryl... I think the Volvo's better.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it is.
But although the coupe, I mean, this screams of like, yeah, the Blues Brothers, man, if it were just, you know, sprayed black Cadillac, man, just.
Good stuff. I need a little shag, a little Murph and the Magic Tones shag. All right. And speaking of movies, we'll kind of wrap this up. If anybody is super bored and wants to see another 78 Cadillac, or a car chase involving that and an 81 Impala, which nobody really wants to see. You guys need to watch the 1986 movie Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines.
The dancing Gregory Hines, not dancing so much in this movie.
Of the Hines brothers, correct. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Great film, shot in Chicago in the 80s, and it's got a wonderful car chase on the L tracks in Chicago, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But nice little treat. It's on the Roku TV app. It's one of the free movies this month. If there is any other kind of car movies, everybody does. Like, what's your favorite car movie? Oh, Bullet. Bullet's awesome. Yeah, it's like Red Meat.
Bounty Hunter's good.
Bounty Hunter's good.
Cannonball Run's still one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah. I'll take that one. What's like your top three?
Oh, really?
Yeah, top three car-themed movies or car chase movies, whatever.
Well, I think Cannonball Run's number one. If you go through my collection of movies, that's definitely... the one that's there. I can be honest with you. The Bond cars as a kid, all the Roger Moore cars, I love them.
Like the Lotus and stuff.
Yeah, the Lotus Esper. Yeah, I wanted one of those.
Yeah.
I think I had every Corgi diecast size you could get. I had the small one, the big one, the one you push the button and the rockets popped out of the back and the fins popped out.
That's probably worth... I was just looking at some Corgi models on eBay.
Yeah.
I was looking at like some
this
old
is what
city
happens
bus.
When you're laid up.
Oh, yeah. eBay's terrible. I didn't buy them, but it was like... I looked at an old GM bus or something like that. It was like $390. And I'm like, okay... Like, I could see myself buying... It's like the Danbury Mint ones, too.
Yeah. No, those Corgi models, I'm sure I shoved in swimming pools and bathtubs because I wanted my car to, like, glide through the water like Roger Moore did in that fake Lotus. Yeah.
Ouch. Some guy made one, though. Did you see that? I think it was on Top Gear, like, 10, 15 years ago.
I think I did see that.
Some, like, uber-rich British guy is like, yeah, I always liked the car, so I decided to build one. So he bought one and then, like, had it all converted to, like, this amphibious...
Yeah.
That's the kind of rich I want to be. I'm not going to like build a skyscraper with gold names.
Yeah, but see, the problem is that dude wasn't distracted. He came from an era where you know he fixated on something for 10 years straight and was able to do it. We can't do that, Daryl.
No.
Our minds are totally polluted and corrupted. We get five minutes into a project, we're like, this is really not going to turn out the way I want it because I've already anticipated, because I've already looked at somebody else's blog. I saw what they did. I don't want to go through all that. So
yeah.
I gave up.
That's pretty much... I think that's the most clear summation of our lives because, yeah, I get accused of you never finish a project.
Yeah.
That's kind of true, but I also know how that plays out. So, yeah, if I was filthy rich, I'd have stupid, you know, 30 different things.
You'd hire people to build it for you. Hey, how's my project coming along in that Lotus? 2 weeks. Yeah. All right.
Just putting the second coat on now, Marty.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Works for Jay Leno. We'll see.
Yeah, I can't give you a whole lot of car movies, Daryl, because you put me on the spot.
I did.
Yeah, you know, what's your favorite Queen album, Daryl?
That one with the song that the guy sang.
Although this is a car podcast, I should know something about cars more so than you knowing about Queen.
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay. My wife's car has like, I don't know, 28 gigs of Queen songs in it.
There you go.
I just keep hitting skip,
that's
skip,
a, that's
skip,
a lot
skip.
Of Queen, by the way.
Yeah,
unless, it is. Or it's really in high def.
It's super high def.
Yeah. So do you have three car movies?
I don't.
Come on.
Well, Ronin is up there. Ronin.
Oh, that's a great movie.
It's a good movie.
Italian Job.
Italian Job's good. The original one or the...
Both. The Michael Caine version's very good, but I like We built a zoo guy. What?
Wahlberg?
No. That's not Italian job is Damon, isn't it?
I don't know. It's one of the... Wahlberg or Damon. One of those guys my wife's going to leave me for. It's got Charlize Theron in it. I have not seen this one, but I can't endorse it, but I'm sure it's great. I like all the original, like Mad Max, Road Warrior, all that stuff.
Yes, the original is amazing.
I've heard the remake is pretty
very
awesome,
good. It's very good. You haven't seen it?
No, I have it on DVD.
While you were laid up? Oh, you got to watch it.
Yeah, I need to, but I heard that's amazing. So, yeah, there you go.
All right, good job, Daryl.
Yep, thanks. You're welcome.
Strong ending. I think the drugs are kicking in.
I'm high on life. Anyways.
He's loving it.
Now, thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks for kind of putting up with a little bit of delay in the production schedule. We're kind of going to get back on track.
That's why we came back 2 weeks in. I thought, you know what? Yeah. We took 6 weeks off there. Let's just kind of come back 2 weeks in. So
yep.
I was worried we may not have enough to talk about.
We have plenty to talk about, Eric. Don't you worry. And we have more to come. So as the new year gets closer and closer, we'll probably try to knock one out before the holidays.
Yeah, at this rate, I think we'll get one out before Christmas.
Yeah, we'll be pretty good here. But let us know what you're working on over the winter. We know in the Midwest or wherever you're listening, it's a long time in between car show season, and you know there's a lot of projects that people have on their plate. So let us know what you're working on. If you're trying to stockpile some parts for your project or you're on the hunt for a new project, let us know what you're kind of thinking. And always be able to get in touch, like, follow, subscribe, all that fun stuff, and share this podcast with someone whose life needs to be wrecked by it.
Or loves Queen.
Maybe. I'm Daryl Scott. We'll see you next time.
I'm Eric Stahl. Thanks for listening.